Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right.
We're back.
Why do you always say we're back?
Is that what I said?
Where would we go?
Okay. Yeah, you're right. We had a conversation about this.
You either say happy Monday, and then I'm like, it's not Monday.
I never know what to say. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I don't know what to do with my hands.
We're back. Just like when we didn't win the...
Next week, Jana's going to say, we're here. I'm like, hi.
Here I am.
What about just Mike? Like, welcome to Wind Down.
Welcome to Wind Down.
Instead of like, it's like,
that's the best intro ever. What just happened the last 30 seconds. So, hey guys.
Hey. Sarah. Hey, Sarah. How you doing, friend? Hey.
Sarah's back.
Sarah is... You had too much coffee this morning.
Yes, a little too much coffee, caffeine.
Sarah is here and she's back for this episode to talk about wedding. And right now you are holed up in a cabin. And
yes, I am.
Okay, so Sarah.
Jana.
I mean, we have so much to catch up on. It's insane, but your wedding was like a week before all this craziness.
Thank goodness.
I can't even tell you how, like, I still wake up with like a cold sweat thinking like it won't happen.
Because like, I almost feel like, weren't you going to do it a little bit later too? Like, weren't you considering March as well?
I mean, I just literally, like, I have no words because I cannot believe how lucky we got. Like, we seriously got so lucky. One more week and it would have been canceled.
Oh my God. After everything, after 6 years of waiting for like the wedding, I mean, I would have cried for you.
We could all Zoom in for the wedding.
Oh no, there would have been no Zoom. I mean, this poor child.
No, Ty's like, yeah, that is my worst nightmare. Like imagining what would have happened to you. And I'm like, I know. So you got really lucky.
But also, I mean, you were supposed to be in Italy too for your honeymoon. So you didn't even get to go on a honeymoon.
What's so crazy is like, I feel there was one case, I think, the day I flew to New York in New York, but we still didn't really know that much about it. I was packed for Italy. I mean, I had already packed my bags for Italy. Ty was going to bring them. And then it was the Wednesday. I think it was like February 25th or something. Mm-hmm. I got 100 messages about like what was going on in Italy. And we were like, yeah, this isn't happening.
Yeah, that was like ground zero.
And at that point I was like, I can't even think about a honeymoon. Like, okay, we'll do it later. I don't even care. Like, I need to focus on this week. And then who would have thought? I mean, I'm so sad for New York. It makes me like want to cry.
Yeah. It's awful. I mean, it's just awful. So I feel like, you know, obviously you were so lucky to have your beautiful wedding in New York and, you know, you guys were able to, you know, still go honeymoon in Hawaii. And I just feel like for all those people that obviously there's like, you know, people are losing their lives and, you know, but people also had weddings too. It's like, I just feel it's so hard to like, but it's still sad. Like for those people, like my cousin just had to cancel her wedding. And it's just like, you can still be upset about canceling your wedding.
That's what's so crazy about this is that everyone is struggling. Mm-hmm. Like people who are sick are struggling. People who had jobs are struggling. People who had weddings or who are pregnant. Like that's what's so crazy about this. And I mean, obviously it's sensitive to me because I just got married. So I'm like, I can't imagine, like, I feel for, you know, anyone who's, it makes me sad for everyone, but prayers that I.
That's just like, you know, I've talked about with a bunch of buddies where we try to look at the silver lining of all this. And it's really hard to do that because you take into consideration, obviously, the people that are so negatively affected, which again, mm-hmm. to your point, Sarah, everyone's affected in some aspect, no matter what you do for a living, no matter who you are. Financially, anxiety, all of that, everyone's dealing with it to a certain extent. And so it's hard to, because we haven't directly really been affected.
Yeah.
Some removed or distant family relatives mm-hmm. and everything, but you mm-hmm. know, it's not your immediate family
sure.
or mm-hmm. close family of friends. So you're not directly affected, and we're not in a profession that has to see this every day. Like we have friends and relatives in the, you know, first responder career path. But to look at the silver lining of, okay, maybe this is good just to slow everything down a little bit, to detach from what we value and think is important with work, and I got to go to work, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, just to enjoy this time, whether it's at home with your kids, as difficult as it is, and we're not saying it's a cakewalk. It is stressful, and it, you know, wears down on you, but, you know, in a year from now, we'll Jana even made the point like a week ago. She's like, we'll always have this memory of just it being you, me, and the kids with no help, no nothing anymore.
And that's what I just, like, you're right. I just hope people are able to be positive and find the beauty, you know, that still is, you know, like you were saying, you've spent so much time with the kids and you always spend time with them, but now it's uninterrupted time with them. Like, there is so much. Ty and I are spending our first month as a married couple. We have not left each other's side from, like, you know, like you said, we'll always have those memories of, oh my God, remember when we got married and then we couldn't, like, escape each other for, so I don't know. It's crazy, but
I get all that. And, like, it's so true. Like, all those things are absolutely true, but it's still, like, I have a hard time because I still have a lot of stress. Like, I have stress on my shoulders regardless. And now that, like, the movie was taken away and these things, like, campaigns are being taken away, it's financially, like, that stress is, I'm like, feeling that too. And it's, like, yeah, this goes back to, you know, obviously my aunt lost her dad and it was an awful story. It's just so sad. And so I have a hard time being bummed out. Like, a week ago, I was supposed to have come back from filming the movie. And I feel like I can't be upset about that because, well, my aunt just lost her dad. But I still feel like we should still have a little grace with ourselves to be like, it's okay to be bummed. It's okay to feel that pressure. But to also go, okay, at the end of the day, though, like Mike said, our immediate family is healthy. We're controlling what we can. And eventually, hopefully, our work will go back to normal. And you know what? This year is maybe just not going to be a great financial year, but it's going to be a good, strong family year. And we're going to have a lot of family time and we're going to be together as a couple. And I kind of mentioned that to someone the other day where I was like, I've already just in my mind said to myself, okay, this year financially, it's going to suck, but it's going to suck for everyone. But especially like in our situation, it's just not going to be great. But at the end of the day, you know, what's going to be strong is our marriage because we're really working on our marriage and communication and we're really working on awesome time with our kids.
Yeah.
You know, so like those things we'll be able to say, hey, that's so much better than what it would have been if we were working 24/7.
Yep.
Totally.
But
it's you just got to know your audience. I mean, there's always someone you can vent to or talk about things to. And, you know, Jana, you're not going to go to your aunt or your cousins just lost their grandfather and say, oh my gosh, my movie or, you know, finances, you're going
to. Well, I wouldn't say that to anyone.
I know, but I'm just saying for people out there listening, it's like, you just know your audience. Like, you'll come to me with those things. We'll come to each other with those things, knowing that we're not trying to take away from anybody else. It's just what each person is personally dealing with. And, you know, I just think I just hope that society is able to maintain some sort of structure because what I think about is the people was, I think I read somewhere 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, I just hope that the government is able to take care of these people and they can get unemployment that can, so they can keep a roof over their heads and keep food in their bellies and for their kids. And, you know, I just really hope that people are able to just push through this and stay consistent with how they're living and come out the other side.
Absolutely. Like, we're so grateful that we're able to have a, you know, a few month cushion. A lot of people don't have that. So it's like, that's where at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, you know, we can be fortunate for that. But also knowing like, it's okay to be bummed that we're losing out on so much too. You know, I think it's,
of course,
but you, like you said, still putting in perspective. And I think that's a great point. And, you know, I'm forever thankful that like we have a little bit of cushion. You know, but it's scary because I'm like,
it's so scary.
I'm saying this the other day too.
It's all consuming.
I know. I'm like, well, I don't know what the new, like, what is the new normal going to look like? And because for me, like, I'm having a really tough time not hugging people and talking to people. And like, I really, like, I love getting in someone's personal space. And just like, is this too close? Great. I'll get closer. Like, I hate just waving across to the neighbors. Like, I want to give Molly a big hug and I want to, you know, give Jenny a, you know, I want to attack them with hugs and I miss our friends.
Is it weird explaining it to the kids? Like, did they understand? Like, is Jolie like, why can't I hug? Or
yeah, so today we were, they were like bouncing their balls, and one of the girls, like, their balls went down the street, and I was like, Jolie, don't touch it. She's like, why? And I'm like, because it's not your ball, you know, like, touch your ball. Yeah. And she wanted to go in the garage, and the moms and I have been really good about making sure they don't touch anything. They stay 6 feet apart. And so we have to end up being like, all right, guys, like, enough play right now, because they're just, you're
they
getting
start to get
close.
Closer and closer. And
yeah.
Closer.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no, no. Stop. And Jolie's like, but why? And I'm like, well, because we got to go have lunch right now. So I just don't think she, you know,
I wonder if she'll remember this time.
I don't know. She'll remember us homeschooling her.
Yeah. Just mom and dad breaking it down.
I'm just like, so Michael the other day taught her A's and one, because she knows like her ABCs and she knows like 1 through 20. But if we were to say, show us the letter A, like, she can't pick that out. Yeah. So today I went back on what you did yesterday and I was like, okay, Jolie, what letter is A? And she points to a K and I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, okay, Jolie, what letter is this? And I point to an A, and she's like, K. And I was just like, oh my god, like, it's 11:30, and I need a bottle of wine.
I think, like, everyone, if anything, everyone appreciates teachers a lot more now.
Oh, oh my gosh, yeah, I feel like teachers are gonna need a raise after all this.
All my sisters are like, oh my god, it's 9:30, and I already give up. I'm like, yeah,
I mean, it's kind of the greatest time not to have kids. For
Ty and I, yeah, I was like, well, you know, Ty, your timeline worked, because if we had kids right now, I don't know what I would do. I'd be freaking out.
Have you guys been attempting baby making? Is there going to be a baby quarantine?
I mean, I just feel like there's, like, you know, what else is, like,
what else is there?
Well, no, it was just like a weird time, because it was like we went from the honeymoon, and now I feel like people are gonna be like, oh my god, like, how could you get pregnant during quarantine? It was like, well, maybe, like, I don't know, it was the honeymoon, I don't know. We've had a lot of time.
I have some questions that people wanted to know really fast on, like, the positive side of your wedding. For the ladies that are getting married, what's one thing not to stress about that maybe you put too much stress on?
The timeline of the day.
Interesting.
I was a psycho zombie that morning. That whole entire day, I feel like I was just really stressed on, is Ty, because I'm a control freak. I'm like, is Ty getting ready? Am I ready? Emma, are we on time with makeup? Is my mom done? Like, I was so stressed out on time. It doesn't matter. I got 5 great shots. That's all you need. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like I was so stressed out about.
And guess what? It ain't starting until you walk down. We would have all sat there for 3 hours. No one's going anywhere until the bride walks down.
It's so funny, though, the timeline, because, I mean, we got there, you know, it was like, they said, what, between there at like 5:30 or be there at 5? What was it? And it's like, you see people walking in so close. I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, there was one couple, Sarah, that walked in. I mean, like, a minute before you walked down. And I was just like, I can't. Like, I'm having anxiety. I'm like, everyone sit down.
Well, that's why I think I think even in that moment, I told Jan, I reminded her of a story I told her from one of my best girlfriends, like, growing up and in college, Mallory, at her wedding. This was like just a couple years after college. I'm walking in with a buddy of mine. Literally just basically parallel to her as she's walking down the aisle.
I would have stopped, like, and said, sit down.
It was like a smaller, like, farm wedding. It was beautiful. And I'm like walking on the outside of the chairs, and she's like maybe a few feet behind me, like walking down the aisle. I'm like, oh God.
How did no one, like, tackle you out of the way?
Stop. That's so rude.
No one was, because everyone was looking to the middle. No one was looking on the outside. I just kind of squeaked in there.
See, sure. I'm the person looking on the outside being like, what are you thinking?
That is so good.
Probably so much judgment, but I knew everyone there. They're probably there. There's Mike.
Okay, what's one thing that you wish you would have paid a little bit more attention to?
My friends.
What?
I was.
You did such, like, a great job.
No, but, like, that day. Oh, that. I woke up, like, really, like, I guess maybe it was the first time I've ever had anxiety. Like, I felt really sick. Like, I couldn't eat. I was, like, I was a hot mess that day. And so I got ready in a separate room away from everyone. And I just feel like I wasn't with my friends, like, all day. You know, all the bridesmaids get ready together. And I kind of, like, I got lost in the, like, I need to just relax and be calm. And then all of a sudden it was, like, 6 o'clock. And I'm like, where are my friends? Like, where is everybody? And then it was, like, time to go. But we made up for it later on. But
yeah,
I wish I was just more chill that day.
Yeah, okay. So a little bit more chill. Don't worry about the timeline.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you know what we say? We walked in there, we're like, it was the most classy, it was the classiest wedding we've ever been to.
Oh,
nothing, there wasn't too much of something. There wasn't enough. It was just, it was perfectly classy.
Oh my God, that just like makes me so... And everyone kept saying like, oh, you did so good. And I'm like, I'm not even going to sit here and pretend that it just like came together. Like I was a psycho 9 to 5 every day, overtime, didn't sleep. Like, so when people say that, I'm like, thank you. Cause I'm not going to pretend like I just threw it together. Cause that's not at all how it was.
I put a lot of hard work and time.
He was blown away. I mean, aww, he's still talking about, he was like, cause he didn't do any, he had never seen the venue. I kept it all a secret.
It was gorgeous. So when,
it was so pretty.
The just like the old vaults and all that stuff. Like it was
how cool.
The,
just so
deposit
old.
Deposit boxes and.
Class. So, I mean, not only did we want to talk to Sarah about, you know, her wedding and stuff, and catch up with her since you know she's.
She's now
a married lady.
She's also our housewife specialist.
She is our housewife specialist, and we have a very, 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 very special guest on today, Bethany Frankel. Do you want to just give a little catch us up a little bit on Bethany? I mean, I did my research, but you know, still.
I mean, well, first of all, she's a Scorpio, so I'm just going to start there.
What does that mean?
She is one of the OG New York housewives. She's New York is my favorite, first of all. I think everybody knows that. But she was really like the trailblazer for them, I think. And then from that, she became like an insane businesswoman. I mean, obviously, you know, Skinny Girl, like Marg, Skinny Girl Wine, all that. She has all the Skinny Girl products. But I think she was one of the first housewives to really like branch out and capitalize off of, you know, coming into our screens every night and becoming a businesswoman. I think she might think the same. I'm trying to think if any other housewives did it, but she's just really made a name for herself. She had her own talk show. I think she's written books. I mean, she has a daughter. She's like, oh, she's amazing. I love her. I can't believe this is happening.
All right. With that being said, let's take a quick break and get Bethany on. Hi, Bethany.
Hey, Bethany.
How are you?
Good.
How are you?
I'm Jana.
Thank you. This is my
husband, Mike, and we've got our girl, Sarah, quarantined in her cabin over there. How are you doing?
Excellent. I'm okay. Thank you.
How's quarantine life treating you?
You know, it has its highs and lows. It's, you're not sure whether you should, it's so nice out and should I be going in the backyard and am I supposed to be just homeschooling all day and what are we cooking and the same mundane conversations. And of course, most of the day is spent doing relief work and just trying to find the right balance and stay positive.
Yeah. How are you staying positive through all this? Like, what is your one thing that you're doing for yourself?
My one thing I'm doing for myself is I take a nice hot bath every day and I try to make sleep a real priority. Like I really lay down. I watch nice shows with my daughter. We're having amazing bonding time, which a lot of people are finding that they're having good family time. Cooking and eating well. I mean, actually the structure of just sitting down. A lot of times I eat food in my car, in the backseat of the car because I'm just rushing around. So I feel like eating well. And I bought this really inexpensive, I call it a Barbie elliptical because I thought it was going to just... It's pink and I just thought it was going to fall apart because it's like it's not expensive and it's actually like a miniature legitimate like elliptical and so I've been exercising on it and it works because I'm not a big exerciser. I'll walk on the beach or I'll try to do yoga but the thing works. It has that little battery, you know, operated thing that tells you the time and if you get off it says it stops so you can get back on. It's not like just it keeps going and some expensive ones do. And it's just as good as any elliptical. You go forward and backwards. Oh so I'm gosh. Very, that's been a big deal.
I'm going to need the swipe up link for that. That sounds great.
Yes. Almost, you don't understand. It's amazing. It's really good.
Mike, do you want to get it on the?
Yeah. So not only with what you're doing with yourself, but tell us, you mentioned your disaster relief program. What? Tell us about that.
Oh, hold
Bethany.
On. My daughter's just building a house in my kitchen.
Okay.
Hi.
I love her.
Cutting board and there's music going on over here. Guys, she's literally, this is my daughter decided to build a home in the kitchen.
No, it's fine. Our daughter is on her iPad right now. It's like, please sit here for at least give us 1 hour.
This is her screen time right now.
This is her screen time. So
yeah, my daughter decided to take out a cutting board and do a TikTok video and change the world right now. Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, no worries.
What were you saying, Mike?
I was saying, can you just tell our listeners and us about, kind of fill us in on your disaster relief program and what that's all about?
Be Strong started with Hurricane Harvey, went into Hurricane Maria, and has worked on disaster relief all over the world. We've been in Guatemala for the volcano eruptions. Wow. We've been in Puerto Rico so many different times. They had an earthquake recently. We went to the Australian wildfires to do support. So it's for times of catastrophe, when people really can't help themselves, and we get there first and we make a difference. And we've distributed millions and millions of dollars of aid worldwide and sent hundreds of planes and barges. And we have a warehouse filled with aid that we amass from around the country and we distribute. So this coronavirus was very different because it's not the same as a natural disaster, although it's like a force majeure, mm-hmm. This unpredictable thing that has happened, the single greatest crisis in our lifetimes, which is just incredible to think about, because people are having such anxiety and feeling such trauma. And aside from people who really genuinely are losing their livelihood and their income and have no money, other people are just traumatized too, because we've never experienced anything like this. So it's justified. So Be Strong is raising money to help hospitals all over the country. Hundreds. We're in excess of 200 hospitals now all over the country that cannot help themselves with protective equipment for healthcare workers. The people are risking their lives for us, even firefighters, police officers, delivery people, everybody working that's not home is risking their life to help make ours better. And then healthcare workers are another level. So we're distributing masks and hazmat suits to governments. We're working with like 10 state governments, and we are distributing Corona kits, which are for immune building and hydration boosting. But to date right now, we've distributed over $16 million in aid to different governments and hospitals around the country. And our goal is minimally $50 million.
Wow.
And like I said, we will have hit over 200 hospital clinics, healthcare facilities by the end of the week. And we're moving very quickly now. And we're accessing the PPE, what I call it aid, but it's basically protective gear, all over the world. But really, once it's come to the United States, because we have to make sure that it hasn't been compromised, that it's not counterfeit, that it's been inspected, that it's been vetted. And there are different types of masks, for example, that range from FDA approved, where someone, maybe a receptionist at a hospital, might wear that, but then an ER doctor, we put in more of like a 3M type of mask. So we are just finding ways to distribute throughout the country to so many suffering hospitals. It is so insane, the amount of messages we get, people pleading and begging as if it's the Great Depression for masks. I mean, wow. it's just so devastating and so terrible for anybody who doesn't really know, because they're not getting the messages. It's horrible. And we distribute proportionally based on how bad areas are within a state. So that's how we distribute our aid.
With all of the moving parts and logistics and resources that go into something like this, I'm sure you're used to, maybe with the natural disaster stuff, quick turnarounds, getting things done right away. Have you really been affected by the logistical aspect of this? Is the timeline slower for things to process and everything?
This is why we really thrive. And this is why you have to be a business person who can execute, and you have to be a run and gun type hustler that I am. Like, I realize why people say that I was born to do this. I realize why I was born to do this. Growing up on the racetrack, always kind of, you know, being scrappy. This is for the person who you have to, it's a roller coaster. You have to have the stomach for it. But you literally, we were on the ground in the Bahamas while the hurricane was still happening. So I saw this. I literally said to my partners at Global Empowerment Mission, this is going to be the problem. This is where the problem is going to be. You have to pivot all the time, because first you think it's one thing, and then you're like, it's prevention. It's it's hand sanitizer and it's immune systems and wipes and everything. But then once everybody gets shut down and is home and the hospitals are overloaded, I realized early, this is the thing. So then you have to be, you know, we're traveling all over the country, going to different warehouses and inspecting and seeing what's real, because there's gouging, there's hoarding, there's interception from individuals, from governments, there is corruption, there is counterfeit. So you have to have that sort of personality, and you have to have lawyers at the ready. You have to understand how to read contracts, how to deal with bank wires, and you have to be a hustler. So we have been first, and governments are working with us because we are faster than the red tape that the government requires. So we delivered 1 million biohazard hazmat suits to Andrew Cuomo in Albany the day after I told him I found they were there. The truck started arriving. I started working with de Blasio's office, and the next day they had 200,000 masks, and we're now working on orders in up to like $50 to $88 million, where we need government help, because 100% of Be Strong money goes directly to the effort. So we're not sitting around. We don't do like a rubber chicken dinner and once a year where we just raise $50 million just waiting for a coronavirus to come. So it becomes like the puzzle pieces are everywhere, and every time there's a disaster you have to start over raising money. So and celebrities, you know, some celebrities have really jumped in. Billy Joel donated $500,000. Wow. And we delivered a lot of aid for him the next day throughout New York, from Amy Schumer. And
I was going to say, I saw your tweets where you were kind of like, okay, everyone.
You called him out. It. Yeah. Billionaires, evangelists, anyone who has money, like, shake your pockets out. We can spend $50 to $100 million. Like, it's nothing by Friday. I mean, this is real. It's not even going to make a dent. So this is the small donations are amazing, and they add up, and those will help the small hospitals all over the country that don't have billionaires on their boards. But we need real money. Camilla and Matthew McConaughey have donated a significant amount today. It came in yesterday, and we will start delivering their aid to Louisiana and Texas tomorrow. The Verstandig Family Foundation, a person that I know, Grant Verstandig, he's in the healthcare business, donated $1.3 million today to go to about
chills.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I'm being pushier than I've ever been, which is a big statement, because $1.3 million is our biggest donation. And we need people to come in with $10 million donations. Like, it's nothing. Like, we need billionaires to be like, I need to write a parking ticket and pay Be Strong, because we need $100 million in PPE and we will go through it.
So are you on this year's presidential ballot?
Because
after that, I'm like, all right, you got me. The independent coming in.
I don't know anything about politics. I really don't know much about politics. I'm good at getting things done. If that's the only thing that politics requires.
That's all the American people are asking.
Then I guess I am.
Sarah, is that a Scorpio trait?
She can get done.
I'm a Scorpio.
I know you are. Trust me. I'm a Team Bethany from the very beginning. So,
oh, thank you.
I'm so excited right now.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you have a question?
Love you.
Do you have a question for Bethany?
No, I don't. I just like to
hear her
talk.
I'm just happy
I
to
can
be
just
here.
Watch her and listen to her talk all day. But no, I think you're a badass bitch, which I think anyone who watches Housewives who really knows you also knows that. But that's what I was going to tell them is I've actually seen what she's talking about, because you took the cameras a couple times down, like in like to her warehouses, and you went down to Puerto Rico with the cameras, right?
Too? Yes, so we did.
I've seen it. I've seen it live.
It's amazing. It's like I said, it's really hard work. It's really intense and it's very stressful, and you get in the weeds and in the bubble. But you know, like, it's just hard to imagine anything superficial right now. It's hard to look at superficial posts, and it's hard to think about, you know, some of the things I've cared about and posted about and been on TV shows about. So, you know, I hope that this global reset is changing people and the way that they see the world and the way that they see people around them. And I think it's bringing out the best and the worst in people. I really do. I think there are people that I see that are acting like this, you know, this is a big vacation, and every other day they're at a different takeout restaurant and at the supermarket every day with all their kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm treating this. I went to the market 3 weeks ago, and I went this past week, and I felt like I was committing a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And I ordered in food one time, and I felt like I was committing a crime. Like, mm. I've been eating out of my freezer. I'm taking it seriously.
Same thing with us. I'm like, all right, we're out of, you know, pretty much like every 2.5 weeks. I'm like, that's it. Like, nothing else, because this is how it's going to stop, as if we're following the orders, you know. And we went out yesterday just to go look at some houses that were being built, and I was shocked how many people were out. I'm like, what are you people doing? Like, stay home.
Being selfish. Yeah. Being selfish.
But
being
I mean, selfish, you have to feel so good with how, you know, all the money you're raising, everything that you're doing too, and in bringing supplies. I mean, that's got to make you feel good in all of this too, because I feel like, you know, when we did a campaign and it was acts of kindness, and it's, you know, we gave money to a bunch of moms that needed it and formula and for their babies and groceries. And I was so depressed over the silliest, stupidest things. And then the second I helped someone, I was like, oh, my stuff was nothing. Like, why am I like, what is wrong with me? And the second that I helped someone else, it was like, I was not depressed. And then everything was perspective too after that.
Well, it shifts. Yeah. You know, I could be wearing one of my brand somethings this week and I would feel disgusted to even care about mentioning it, or, you know, going to sell on TV, which I was, of course, asked to do this week. And I was like, but what about feeling good about it? I feel good about it. But what I really feel good about is changing the narrative about charitable work, because you see a lot of high profile people post links to things. And I know that they don't really know what goes on with those links. They don't know how much money that place takes.
Yeah.
They don't know exactly where it's going. So I feel that Be Strong is shifting the way that people look at charity. So they're saying, you know, I'm so transparent, and every day is a new post that's the mission and we accomplish A, B, C, D, E. Here it is. You want to call Cuomo? Ask him if that's a million biohazmat suits. He'll tell you yes. You want to call de Blasio and ask him if those are 200,000 masks and how much they were? He'll tell you yes. So to give people the power, even if they donated $5, to know exactly where that $5 went. And for them to know that Billy Joel donated, so he chose to make New York important, and that Camilla and Matthew McConaughey chose to make Louisiana and Texas important, and that Be Strong will then balance that out throughout the country to make everybody important. I just feel like that's a connectivity that has been missing in charity so long. This is not something that we can, you know, host a fundraiser once a year, pay somebody $100,000 to sing and do their hair and makeup and do. This is called give me the money and we're giving it to the people. And so I think it's different.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Money, like, put your money where your mouth is and let's go.
And where?
Yeah, and let's go.
Where can
you gave it to me and there it is right there.
I love it. Can you remind our listeners where they can find to be a part of this real deal right now and help?
Be strong.
So this real deal is Bethany.com, BethenNY.com/bestrong. Every dollar happens. The Twitter follower just said, what if it was like years ago, the March of Dimes, if everybody gave 5 cents, which I don't know why they didn't ask for a dime. They were the March of Dimes. So I'm now asking for everybody to give me $10, and that would, you know, make a dent. I can't even say that would do it. That wouldn't do it. But and then get some billionaires to give some money and pressure people to give to a place that you trust, and let's get this thing done. We're just starting.
Amen. I love it. Bethany, thank you so much
for
your badass time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate everything you're doing. And we hope that, you know, more people, like, you know, go shake Bezos pockets or something. Go ask him for a little shake.
Billionaire evangelists today. Someone sent me a list of all them and I didn't even think of them. Nobody ever thinks to ask them for money. Like, let's call Joel Osteen and I want some money from Joel Osteen.
Oh yeah.
Who is that? Tony Robbins.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Like no one's shaking their tree. Everyone's on Bezos's jock. Like, okay, but and I know he's the richest man in the world, but I mean, let's go for some other people.
That's true. Even it out a little bit. Bethany, thank you so much. Have a great day and go get on those TikTok dances with your daughter.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bethany.
Bye. Have a good day. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Sarah.
I just told her I loved her.
I feel like
I've never been speechless.
No, been speechless. And that's why I was like, do you want to ask? I didn't know if you wanted to like ask like a housewives question or something. And you were just like, no.
I didn't really feel like it was the time. I was definitely thinking housewives things, but I don't really know if she was really here for it. But I was just like mesmerized. I was just like staring at her like skin and just like listening to her like talk. She's so smart. And like, I feel like when she talks, you listen.
Yeah. So what happened with her? Is she not married? I didn't see a ring.
Oh my God. It's a really, really bad story.
Oh no. Oh, did someone die?
Like no, he didn't die. But it was like one of those scenarios, like, you know, she always wanted, you know, a baby and this and that. And like, she meets a guy and he comes on the show and they have this whole, they get married and they get their own little spinoff. And then like, I think after her daughter was maybe like one or two, I think she battled him in custody. Like, I think they were battling for like 5 years, 6 years.
Oh man.
He did not let go without a fight. He was suing her for everything. He made her life hell, literally a living hell. Yeah, it was really, like, allegedly all of this. But I'm pretty sure, because it all plays out on the show, so that's why I feel like I know a lot of it. But it's crazy to watch, and she's a tough bitch. Like, if you have an extra time, you should start Housewives New York. Then you can really
But she's awesome, her. Though, and I love that she's so passionate about, has Be Strong, and that she's helping as many people as she is. Like, it's people like Bethany that are going to get the job done and get and save a life and help people. And I really love that.
We saw her at Catch in LA.
We did. I almost told her the story because I was like, because I know who she is. Like, yeah. I know, like, the skinny girl, but I don't know the Housewives thing. So, yeah.
And my buddies were in town, and my one buddy, his wife.
Who was it again?
Miz.
Oh, Miz, yeah.
His wife, Marissa, is, like, obsessed with Bethany and, like, Housewives and stuff. And so Miz doesn't give an F, so he's like, all right. He goes right over to her. He's like, hey, I'm sorry to bother you, but my wife would, like, kill me if I don't get a picture with you. So he took a selfie with her in the table right next to us.
You should have told her that.
That's funny. She's like funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's, we're going to talk a little bit more, but let's first take a break. But yeah, I just hope all of you guys go to Be Strong and help in any way you can. I always say this too. So I've got, let's say 1.9 million followers. If everyone gave $1, Sarah, don't give me that.
So
ooh, but I'm just saying, like, if everyone gave $1, like, that's
a lot of people.
That's a lot of money.
Well, and even like she said, she was like, $5 works, $50 works, $5. You know what I mean? She's not greedy on any amount, because at this point, anything helps.
Yeah.
What I love is that she has no shame in asking for money, like asking big spenders, like, hey, give some money. Come on.
I love that.
Like, let's go. Why are you hesitating? Let's do this.
She's a total.
Like,
badass.
I feel like we don't even have that much money. I'm like, oh, okay, here.
No, I was literally, when she was talking, I was about to text Ty and be like, should I, like, donate money right now? I don't know. It's my favorite housewife, and I feel like I should, like, be like, here, take it all.
I don't know if I can go to sleep tonight without donating, honey.
Let's do it. So
that's the whole point. I think she wants to make people feel that way.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. All right, let's do like a DM before we get out of here.
Yeah, so I'm looking at DMs right now on the Wind Down Podcast Instagram. So make sure if you want to communicate with us, DM us there, and we'd love to try to get to your question. This one says, hi, Jan and Mike. I'm wondering if on the podcast you can talk a little bit about how you're staying motivated to plan for the future during self-isolation. My boyfriend and I have been together for over 5 years, and he finally finishes school at the end of April. This spring summer was supposed to be our time to take a lot of big steps in our lives, and he's looking forward to kickstarting his career, and we were looking at moving into a new home. All this before COVID hijacked our plans. I finally felt like we were making strides towards the future, and now I feel hopeless. I feel so stuck. All my motivation is out the window. I know you're both hustlers, so any tips? Wait, what?
You know what? You know what? You know who Jana is right now? That's the epitome of Michael Scott not being able to say that's what she said. That's like Jana. Yeah. That's Jana in those situations.
No. Sorry. 150.
Let me just read this. I know you're both hustlers, so any tips to keep motivated for future planning during such a bleak time would be greatly appreciated. Come on. It was funny.
Well, since I'm an expert on this subject matter,
that's tough, by the way.
That is very hard, knowing that you probably have the mindset, like my wife, who's a hustler, and I, not so much at certain things.
You hustle you dadding is hustling. You're a dad hustler.
Yeah.
We all hustle in different ways.
We do, exactly. Good point. Thank you, Sarah.
I just agreed to that. I said you hustle like being a dad. Like, you hustle your butt off.
I would say control what you can control, right? Which is obviously easier said than done. But okay, COVID-19 happened. It's happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't control any of that. Take a breath. Realize that, okay, you guys have been in each other's life for 5 years. You've been together. You guys aren't going anywhere. Okay. God willing, your life isn't going anywhere. like in a negative way. So just understand that you have each other still. The things that you want are going to come, and there doesn't have to be a set timeline for that. It's like, okay, got pushed back. You know what? We're together though. We're healthy. We, you know, shit's going to work out. Just the little things.
I like that. No, that's good. Yeah. And just stay positive too with that. This is really funny. She's from London. Shall I, wait. I think you should read. No, Michael and I were just being delirious the other day, and we were speaking in like British accents.
And then they just took a turn.
And then they just
somewhere.
Took a turn to like Southern redneck. Hick.
I don't know how it even happened, but
I was going to attempt to do this in a British accent. But I was going to let maybe you want to try it, Mike. My question.
You sound like you're from London.
My question to you both is, how do you deal with coping with pet peeves that your loved one does? For example, I love my fiance so much, but it bugs me. He's always on his phone. I know I can go and do something else while he does that. But man, it grinds my gears and my mind and turns so negative. So yeah, any tips for dealing with pet peeves, especially during isolation? Love you guys all the way from London, England. Olivia.
I was going to say, I feel like right now people have a lot more pet peeves than they did 3 weeks ago. It's like all of a sudden Ty will look at me and I'm like, oh my God,
pet peeve. You look like- at me.
Well, one that I've been doing that I was good at for a while, but now the last week I've been bad is when I get Jace in the morning, sometimes I'll forget his diaper like that he wore during the night. Like I'll take it off, right, change his diaper, and I'll leave that dirty diaper like on his dresser. And then not if it's a poop. I never leave it up there if it's a poop. But the pee, I'll just be like, oh, okay, I'll get it later. And then Jana happens to be the next one to go up. And she starts coming down the stairs with just a straight face. I'm like, oh, damn, my bad, bro.
And I'm like, one day I'm gonna put it in on your side of the bed underneath the pillow so you can just your head like lays on it.
What if you do that and I sleep all night not even realizing?
Gross. No, but good? Yeah. I was like, Michael, I don't understand like why it's that hard to bring down the pee-pee diaper. And he's like, I don't have enough hands. And I was like, so where are my hands? So like when I bring
no,
it down.
No, because here's the thing. When I come downstairs, because what happens is I take Jolie back upstairs because usually she comes down by then. I make Jace's bottle. Jolie and I go upstairs. We get Jace. We go in the playroom. So when we come down for breakfast at 8 o'clock.
This all sounds like a personal problem to me.
When we come downstairs for breakfast at 8 o'clock, Jolie always likes to ride on my back. I got to hold Jace and then usually like his empty bottle in my other hand.
So you're being dad of the year and you just can't happen to get
I'm sorry. The one thing I leave.
One last question from the Wind Down Podcast Instagram.
I will say, if being on the phone was a pet peeve of mine, that would really, like, if that was a thing you did all the time, it would really bother me.
That's a
really tough one. So my pet peeve was a little different, but hers, like him being on the phone, that we are good at not doing that.
We are because we've communicated it.
Yes. But that would really, really bother me.
Yeah, that'd bother me too.
Especially right now, because it's like, what? He's probably like, what else am I doing? He's just on his phone.
Well,
cheating,
wait
you know,
a minute. Is it comparable to your iPad?
Oh shoot. No, because if Ty comes in my room when I'm on my iPad, I put it away. Because I don't have things on my iPad. I just have Netflix. So it's not like I could scroll on my iPad, you know?
Sure. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That's like me. I'm the same way.
Always on his phone. That's not even like a comparison. Oh my God.
Does it bother you?
No, because then I can watch my shows in peace. No, he started doing puzzles right now, 3D puzzles. So he's been very busy. And yesterday he didn't touch his phone for like 5 hours. And I was like, are you okay? Like,
that's funny.
It's very weird.
All right. Last question. How do I get my boyfriend to communicate with me more specifically when we have bad days or an argument? I want to talk about it later on or the next day. And he just wants to be over it and move on, which I want to and move on. But after we get it out, it just feels like the argument that drags on, the tension than she ever wanted or intended. That's frustrating because she's not saying she wants to do it in the moment. She wants to do it, I want to talk about it later on or the next day, which is something that I would normally say, like, give it some space and then revisit it from a chill place.
Yes, two things. First, to lean on his side just for a second, is every single argument or disagreement or confrontation are you wanting to talk out and deal with?
Mm-hmm.
Because if so, that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. We have moments where we just kind of look at each other, high five, and we're like, all right, let's move on.
Yeah.
You need to have some of those. because if every little thing you need to talk out, you're just going to drive him further and further away.
Mm-hmm. It'll eat you alive.
Yes. So thinking about all this. Yes. Be conscious of that. Second is to be on her side. I mean, if the former isn't the case and you are just doing it on the bigger issues and the more sensitive materials, then you're doing everything you can. And I would just almost self-deprecate leading off kind of help sometimes where you can say, honey, I know this is really annoying and I know this may seem crazy, but I can't get past, the argument earlier if we just don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. When would be a good time? Would now be okay? Could maybe later, could we figure that out?
Yeah. And then we did a really good way to communicate too. If you go to our YouTube, we do a safe talk process and that we learn from our therapist. So you can kind of go through that and hear ways to communicate. But I would just say definitely lean in from a vulnerable place, not a you always or stuff like that. Cause that's not going to be very
effective.
Yes. Well, Sarah, I love you, girl.
Good thanks to see your for, face, girl.
Thanks for coming on and always filling us in. You're the best. We love you. And everyone out there, let's do this safe again next week.
Tell Ty we said hi.
Oh, I will.
Bye.
Bye.